there a reason you're not walking out into the hall right now? You couldn't just drop some intel in a locker or send a simple cipher like any other person, could you? No, with you, I get these letters. Like, Rilke here. And I can't make heads or tails of that guy. All these years with you, I'm still out in the cold.
Welcome to Remote Control. In this episode, you'll hear DJ Valentine and myself, TFG and Mike, talk about Counterpart Season 1, Episode 5. Now, on with the show.
What do you think of the view? Different, I imagine, where you come from. There's no need for pretense with me, Howard. I know so much about you. I know your other sent you here in this place as a result of his being grounded by the embassy. He didn't tell you about me, did he?
No.
My name is Alexander Pope. And you, dear boy, are nothing like our mutual friend.
Hello and welcome to Remote Control, the GCRN's TV podcast that talks about TV shows from 2000 to now, and sometimes we go back in time as well. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is my counterpart, trying to be DJV. See what I did there?
Nice.
I mean, it's not like I could make a spy versus spy reference or anything. Because I don't think anybody wants to be, associated with Cosby anymore, sadly.
No.
But,
sorry.
The monster that he is or that he was or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I've taken a break from watching Black Panther 45 times to come on here and talk about a little Counterpart. I had some time in between showings to watch a little Counterpart.
I think I mentioned this last week, but when Black Panther dropped, Ripped Apparel put out shirts that day, like basically, emulating various versions of Black Panther, the character.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was Black Panther, the Pink Panther dressed as the Black Panther.
I saw that. I also saw the Carolina Panthers. They changed their name to the Black Panthers. I was like, that's dope. I would rock a Pink Panther as a Black Panther and a Carolina Panther as a Panther. That's both of them are welcome.
Yes. I have not seen a hell of a lot of movies. We've talked about this, since we brought this show back.
You're a busy man.
I haven't seen Justice League. I haven't seen the other one, the guy with the hammer. I haven't seen that movie.
The guy with the hammer?
The guy with the hammer with the green friend from work. Haven't seen
he's
that
a friend
one.
From work.
Yeah, that's right. It's the best line out of all any of those trailers. He's my friend from work. Oh, smash.
I gotta be careful. My dog is sleeping and his name is Thor, so if I say Thor very loud, he'll be like, what's going on?
Oh Lord. What kind of dog is he?
He's a golden doodle, a golden retriever and a poodle. Put in a Hadron Collider and smash together to make a golden doodle.
You are the second person that I know that has a dog like that that is named Thor.
Yeah. Oh my God. I wanted to call him Blondie after Clint Eastwood, but my sister said, no, Blondie's a girl's name. I'm like, no, you're thinking of the singer. I'm talking about the crazy Western gunslinger. She's like, nope, Thor. All right. that was the argument and I lost.
So we are here once again to jump down the rabbit hole that is Starz' new original series Counterpart. After watching season 1 episode 5, folks, I feel like there's no there's no difference between Alice in Wonderland and Counterpart at this point. Like, holy crap.
This episode will be known as the episode that broke my heart. We learned some truths in this episode that left me saying, oh, man. Come on, man.
It's like, what the hell?
Come on, man.
You assume everything is supposed to be all altruistic and everything, and sadly, not.
First off, I just want to say this. Hey, good Howard, you're doing a horrible job pretending to be bad Howard. Yeah. Does anybody even buy? Nobody buys him as bad Howard. Like in the first 4 seconds, like, oh, we know it's you. We know you, Stephen, Mr. Pope. Steve, what's his name? Stephen Pope.
Alexander Pope.
Alexander Pope. He's just like, yeah, you're clearly from the other world. Yeah. He doesn't say a word. He's just sitting on a bench. He's like, yeah, you're not him.
It's the mannerisms. It's, you know, and honestly, that's a testament to JK's acting between the two versions of the character, really. I mean, the fact that he could still look like Alpha Howard and not, you know, and still right. act like it would be like we said a couple episodes ago, and like Howard himself said, don't make me into you or don't make me be you kind of a thing. Like, he's not being Howard Prime. He can't, because if he does, he loses who he is. And I think, hopefully, because at this point, folks, we're at the halfway point of season one.
Right.
It's almost.
I thought we were gonna get an opportunity for Good Howard to try and be Bad Howard when he went to go see his daughter, and the daughter's boyfriend or whatever answered the door. I was like, this would be a good opportunity. He was like, no, he's just not that guy.
No, so. He's just not that guy. And plus. You know, we found out last time that, you know, Good Howard and quote unquote Bad Emily, not Emily Prime, the other one.
I'm not even sure if it's Bad Emily.
I know,
both
really.
Emily's it's are like, bad now.
Exactly.
Damn it. I'm so pissed.
What the hell? But we found out that, you know, Good Howard's Emily had a miscarriage. So, like, that for him. It, you know, him seeing the fact that Bad Howard has a daughter with Prime Emily or whatever we're going to call them, because they were going to go back and forth between these names, folks. It's just too confusing. I've never done acid in my life, nor would I ever, but, like, holy crap. Between watching the original Disney animated Alice in Wonderland and watching this, yeah, this feels like you're high through the whole thing, because, like, so much stuff is going, like, you know, I mean, seriously, you look at Alice in Wonderland, you know, eat this to get bigger, eat this to get smaller, eat this, like, sir, drink this, drink that, like, seriously, really?
It's a Disney acid trip, that's for certain.
Very much so. Disney acid trips are not cool.
I mean, there's that scene with, I'm just calling him Blacklist Guy. And they go. Yeah. He takes fake Tom Hiddleston to the country, and Mr. Peter Quail, yeah. whatever that is. And you got the crazy living arrangement with the two counterparts in I was like, wait. So are they? Is it like Big Love, where like there's two wives and a husband? It was just such a weird.
At first, I thought it was mother-daughter, but they said the exact same thing about same him line, burning right, a roast, right. And I'm like, oh my god, it's, like, this is the...
He always burns the roast.
Yeah. Outside of Howard Prime and Howard Alpha, Good Howard, Bad Howard, whatever, this is only the second time we've seen somebody that has actually had their other in the room with them, because obviously right. the other part is Baldwin and Nadia from the other episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
And Baldwin / Nadia, for a girl with a bullet wound in her face, she really kind of is not striking out with the lady.
No.
I mean, she clearly has a bullet wound in her face, and she's like, yeah, girls are just flirting with her all the time. Mm. Here's some free soup. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? And now she's kind of like listless. Like, she has really nothing to do in this episode.
No.
So, again, and I think we talked about this last episode, I think she's going to align with Good Howard.
I'm not like 100% sure, but I'm like 75% sure you're right, because she has nowhere else. Like,
she's been abandoned by her own people.
Yeah.
So
pretty much.
Unless she's just gonna go on a revenge tour and try and kill the girl. You said her name last week and I forgot it already.
Claire.
The one that's Claire, and just kill everybody in that organization. That's the only thing I can think she's going to do. But she didn't seem like she was like really going to do that. She was just kind of just hanging out in this episode.
Yeah, like there was no, like there was no real place for her in this episode.
Yeah.
Because of everything else going on in the episode. I mean, you've got them searching the office, and like you said, Quail and revealing to the Blacklist villain that you know, about the stuff. We learn more stuff about the world, which is great. Like, I've been asking for that. Or I had, at least. You know.
How many people lost? And I was like, man, did he say 5 billion? Did he, that's not, I can't remember how many people they lost in the epidemic. He says the number, but I know it's like a crap ton of people.
Yeah.
So that makes me think that there's stuff going on in the Bad Howard's world that they are just not telling us all the information.
Exactly.
I mean, they had the epidemic, which is a big deal. But I mean, like, how did that affect the rest of the world? We're only getting to see it in Germany, but I want to see like America and like England and everything else. Like, what is left after this epidemic? Is it just these small pockets of governmental resistance? I don't know what's going on over there. Because it's right, like Goodhauer's like walking around and there's nobody there. And I didn't even think about it until he brought it up when he goes like, "Why is everything abandoned here?" Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yep. And then Emily basically says that the flu killed 500 million people.
Oh, it was 500 million people? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought she said 5 billion people. I was like, oh my god.
No, it was 500 million people.
That's still a crap ton of people.
That's still
geez.
A crap ton of people. I mean, yeah. You know. But yeah, wow. Oh my god, this episode.
And now we find out that good Emily, I guess. I felt like Bad Howard at the end of this episode where he was just like, god, I thought you were good. What? He cheated on poor good Howard. Now we're under the thing of, does Bad Howard tell good Howard that his wife was cheating on him?
Yeah. And the craziest thing to me isn't the fact that she was cheating. Okay, yes, cheating is the worst thing you could ever do in a marriage, in my personal opinion. Other than, you know, domestic abuse. But, you know, still. We find out that it's the guy that he's been playing the game with, right?
Yeah.
Like, seriously,
which
really?
Which is kind of creepy. I guess it may have been some kind of guilt thing where he's like, you know... I want to get to know
like,
the guy.
Oh, Howard, you've never won before. You almost won this time. And I'm like, oh my god, are you serious? Like, really?
Bad Howard loses. Bad Howard lost on purpose there, I'm assuming.
I would hope.
Because he kind of like gives him this look like, yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay, buddy. Okay, pal.
Yeah. Bad Howard didn't really have a lot of, like, he had a few lines, but it wasn't like, you know, him, you know, fuck off or what, you know, whatever. It's like, it's not him.
He has that,
like,
first moment where he's like, is there any reason why you guys aren't walking out this door right now? I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That whole scene between that beginning line and the ending line in that scene with him saying, why won't you ever let me get close or whatever it is. Like, I've got it in the audio somewhere in the episode here, but, it's one of those things where, like, wow.
It just hurt me that, like, I guess Emily is bad on both sides. Not bad on both sides. She's just, their marriage is doomed on both sides. See, like, it seemed like we were getting the yin and yang.
Yeah.
Like, one universe was going to be the opposite of the other. But no matter what universe, and I think Bad Howard comes to this kind of, like, realization where he was kind of almost fallen for the fairy tale, as it were, of good Howard and his wife. And then he finds out, nope, she's not, maybe not as despicable as his Emily, but she is not without sin, which is just like, man.
Yeah.
That part hurt me. I was like kind of hoping that this guy was just like some kind of crazy agent. Then when he pisses himself, I'm like, oh no, he's just a guy. Mm-hmm. He's just a guy.
Yeah. And technically it's ingenious on Alpha Emily's part, you know, basically just hiding a go bag or whatever it was that he found there, just
right.
With a regular civilian. Like, And apparently the affair had been going on for however long it had been going on for, but like, yikes. And again, it goes to the point of, we know nothing about Good Howard's Emily other than what he has said, other than...
Everything's through his perspective. Everything's through his... So you're right. You can't, and I can't remember, how long did he say the affair was going on for?
Couple of years, I think.
Oh, man. I think. That's rough. That's just so... I mean, that's what makes me worried now, because what does Good Howard have to go back to? Unless Bad Howard kills this guy and never tells Good Howard about it. Mm-hmm. Unless, or Emily never wakes up and he never learns anything about it. It's just like, Good Howard's... The truth is not good for Good Howard, because what does Good Howard have other than he's completely dedicated to Emily. Mm-hmm. Every time you see a conversation, it's just us. It's just, I take care of my wife. I go to the store. I buy flowers. Now he finds out his wife has been cheating on him. Where does he go after that?
Yeah,
that event might turn him into Bad Howard, because it seems like Bad Howard was changed by Pope made him like capable as a killer.
Yeah.
But it seems like that he might have changed when he and Emily got estranged. So if Bad Howard or Good Howard finds out that Emily has been cheating on him, that might turn him into ruthless guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Ruthless aggression.
Double Bad Howards. double aces is what's gonna happen.
Because like we said last week, we saw Good Howard try to kind of, like, Good Howard and Emily Prime have kind of a thing, you know, where they're, you know, he's like, oh, well, I was leaving you a note, I was doing, and, you know, they were having this fun little tete-a-tete kind of a thing, and now come to find out that his wife has been cheating on him the whole time, or whatever. However many
years. Is this going to be the most expensive episode of Wife Swap we've ever seen? Is that what's going to happen here? They're going to swap wives? They're going to swap Emily?
Well, I mean, like, seriously, like, we thought, and Emily Prime says it in this episode this week, that, you know, as many similarities that she and the other have, there are also very many differences. They're not the same person.
No.
Like, she specifically points that out to Good Howard, because he's still in either his upstairs brain or his downstairs brain. He's just assuming that they can go on their merry little way and just kind of help each other out and whatever else.
Right.
And
I think he's looking at it as like, even if she's not my Emily, she's still Emily.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, the things that make me love Emily is there.
Yep.
In his brain. But I mean, again, whew, if he ever find that, that's now is going to be, I don't, what is Bad Howard going to do with this information? That's all I want to know right now. I was like, what is he going to tell him? Is he going to tell him? How long does Good Howard have left in Bad Howard's world? Mm-hmm. That's another thing they haven't really answered.
That's the, like, they did say he was supposed to spend a week there, right?
I think so.
They said
he can get his visa worked out, but I don't. If,
yeah.
It seems like it might be advantageous for him not to do it. Like, keep Good Howard over there, mm-hmm. because Bad Howard can now operate with impunity on everything. He can do whatever the hell he wants in Good Howard's world. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and if he's in danger, though Alexander Pope knows it's not him, because yeah. The Emily from his world was telling him that Pope is the one that was behind him, his kill order or whatever.
Yeah.
So if Pope didn't know it was him, maybe we could evilly see him use Good Howard as bait or, you know, a shield. But now I don't know what I just want to know what his plan is at this point, because he's just, other than figuring out who this guy was that was apparently cheating on or sleeping with Good Howard's wife. What is his plan at this point? Is he just hanging out? Are they both just hanging out? That's what it seems like.
Netflix and chill? I don't know. Like, do they even have Netflix on this planet? Like, on this version of Earth?
It's called FlixNet over there. They flipped everything.
Lord.
You work for the office?
You call me a runner.
I don't know what that is.
It means that some years ago, I took a man like you and made him into a man like Howard Silk.
So, I should say, what, job well done?
And I understand you've been spending some time with his family.
That's right.
Let me guess. He didn't tell you about them either. It's in his nature. Perhaps he didn't want you mucking around in his affairs. On that subject, though, if I may offer you a word of advice, you really shouldn't be placing any trust in that woman.
Emily?
I can't speak for what she's like on your side, but this one ruined him. And I wouldn't want the same thing happening to you.
Maybe you don't really know her.
No. Maybe you're right. I just thought I'd warn you as a gesture of good faith. Don't be shy, Howard. If you ever need anything, just drop a letter on the lamppost. You haven't the faintest idea what I'm talking about, have you? He was right. You're so plain. Why don't you ask Emily about my signal plan? Might surprise you what you don't know about that woman.
And we end the episode with Good Howard meeting up with Anna. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, you end the episode on that. Holy shit.
She's the one person that doesn't know that's not bad. It's not her father.
Yeah.
So she's like, why are you like this? What's going on with you? What's wrong with you? Because he's completely not trying to be bad Howard at all.
You're sick. You're dying. You're this. You're that. Like, whoa. Like, And I get it. Good Howard wants to kind of make up for everything bad Howard has apparently done or hasn't done or hasn't paid attention or hasn't been around or whatever. But
wasted an opportunity that he would kill for and never got. So he's just trying to essentially – they're living vicariously through each other apparently, but literally doing it.
And I don't even think bad Howard is living vicariously through good Howard at all because – Bad Howard just does whatever the fuck he wants. It doesn't matter. I mean, obviously he's smarter than Good Howard when it comes to the spy stuff because he is a spy and all of that. But like I don't know, man. This show is just one acid question, trip after another.
One question after another question.
Episode 10 better be 48 minutes of answers. That's all I have to say because
you know they're not going to give us answers. Mm-hmm. You know, now the girl that betrayed Baldwin,
Claire.
Tell me her name. I keep forgetting her name. She's in a room with a bunch of guys, and then is Claire the one that walks in and they say it's an honor? Like, there was two girls that look exactly the same, but were they the duplicates? I was confused by that scene.
Yeah, I was confused by that scene, too. Like, I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah, maybe they'll further explain it. I do love how this episode opens, where the guy's, like, talking crap to that girl, and then they're automatically planning his death behind him, and he's just not noticing that they're planning his death the moment they open the door. And he's, like, telling them, oh, it's going to be easy to get rid of my body because nobody asks questions, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, the opening scene to this episode with the three infiltrators coming across, like, okay. You know, the girl that was there that, you know, stood up and put her hands out and put her jacket out and whatever else, and they're like, okay, you're fine. Mm-hmm. And obviously the gun was planted in the apartment because they didn't have it on them. But I watched this episode like twice before we did this, so I'd make sure I'd have everything I wanted to talk about fresh in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really realize that the Coke bottle, silence just really actually worked, because that sounded just like a pop. It didn't sound like...
I've seen it used in a couple other movies before. What the hell? Was it Ronin? I've seen it in another movie before. I was like, oh, wow, that's a ingenious way to do that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... That guy just, wow. He dead.
He dead. Never going to see him again. He dead. He's gone.
Nope, he's gone.
But the mole, I guess. Who do you think the mole is at this point? At first, I thought it was Blacklist guy near the end, and then it's like, maybe not.
Yeah, it's not. It can't be him because it's somebody higher up that has been around for years. The only person I could think it would be is somebody that we have not seen yet, someone that they have not revealed yet. Maybe it's the Lambert character or somebody else.
Richard Schiff's character?
Yeah.
Is that Lambert? Is
no, Richard Schiff? That's not Lambert. It could be Richard Schiff's character, but that's not. Lambert is the. He's the ambassador dude over there.
Oh, right. Yeah, the douchebag guy.
Yeah.
Douchebag. Captain Douchebag. Yeah, I remember him. It seems like he'd be too on the nose.
Probably.
Because he seems like a scumbag. So him being, he's also the mole. Like, it's got to be like somebody we don't. You might be right. It might be somebody we haven't seen yet. Or, I mean, the only higher up I can think of was Richard Schiff. But it kind of goes counterintuitive to what he was doing in the episode we saw him in. Where he's negotiating stuff over to that side. So.
Yeah, Richard Schiff's character is Roland Fancher. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Mm-hmm. He's the OI Director of Diplomacy. So the Claude Lambert or Lambert or whatever, he's the prime ambassador to the Alpha side. So he's Good Howard. He's on Good Howard's side of the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really sure. I cannot wait until Wikipedia updates the recurring cast on here to say Andre, Howard's go partner and Emily's and Emily's Mr. Mistress, whatever.
Yeah, whatever the hell he is.
Whatever the hell he is, like, seriously.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. Is it the last time we're going to see that guy?
Not unless Bad Howard, or not unless Good Howard decides to kill him. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if Good Howard has a capable... It's tough to gauge. I really think that that information is enough to break him, because I think that's what broke Bad Howard, but I don't know, man. It just seems like we need more steps in between where he is as Good Howard and Killer. It seems like if he jumps to that thing, because I was kind of upset that he punched that guy. I was like, I don't know. That seems like a bit of a jump from this meek, you know, guy to physically attacking people or killing them. I mean, everybody snaps, but it's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I've been saying it every week. I know probably anyone that's listening to this is probably sick of me saying this. I cannot guess with this show. I cannot, like,
You couldn't guess there would be two girls that are living in the same house with a man that are duplicates of each other? You couldn't guess that?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously knew there was going to be two duplicates, but, like, I didn't really realize there was going to be another, like, we've heard of defectors, and what I assume is going to be human trafficking at some point, with, you know, from people from this side to the other side or whatever else, but, like, everything to do with Emily and Howard, both versions, like, wow. Did not see any of that coming.
No.
Not at all. And that's what honestly makes a great television show. It just does. So.
It's just the problem. The thing is, you fall, you're susceptible to the Lost syndrome.
Yeah.
Where you set up these great mysteries and you don't have proper answers for them. That's what I'm only thing that's worried about. With all these little mysteries they're kind of setting up, I hope that they know exactly how to give us some closure, or something that's worth a payoff to all of this stuff. So,
well, like I said, I mean, you know, they have to be able to pay all the, like, I'm not saying I want, like, all the answers by episode 9 and 10, because episode 9 and 10, well, episode 9 and 10 are two-parter.
Right.
You know, so I'm not saying I want all the answers at the end of episode 10, but I want most of them, and leave me with a little bit more for the seconds, like, leave me with a teaser for the second season kind of a thing.
Right.
Like, but, I mean, come on.
Maybe at the end of this season, Good Howard and Bad Howard are going to be, because they've been kind of working together in this situation, and I think at the end of the season, they're going to be enemies. I think Good Howard is going to have Baldwin, and Bad Howard is going to have the might of whatever the hell organization they're... I mean, for me to get more involved in their situation, because I think them working together is not equal. It's on Bad Howard's terms at all times. I think it, as them as enemies, with Baldwin and Bad Emily backing up Good Howard, I think you might have a compelling little thing there going on. That's a prediction. I'm probably wrong, but yeah, I'm just, you know, throwing it out there.
I don't even know. Like, it's so hard for me to predict this show because it's just so damn good. It's so confusing, and it's wow, just wow. So. All right, folks. Next week, we're going to act like you've been here before.
We finally get to that episode.
Yes. Which, it like we said last week, like, we don't know how this is going to play out, but we can only assume, like, well, you know, like we said about Good Howard having to try to act like Bad Howard. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet, because he's still doing good
Howard-y things. He did once in this episode. He failed miserably. But Bad Emily kind of told him to pretend to be Bad Howard to get this guy to talk, but then she just did it at gunpoint. failed, and then she just held the gun at him and he told him everything.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good at all. So, I think that's going to do it for us, folks. Where can the people interact with you online, sir?
At trying to be DJV is my personal Twitter handle. If you find our the show I'm on, Simplistic Reviews Podcast, at Simple Tweeters on Twitter.
Absolutely. I am at TFG1 Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Join us next week for episode 6 of Starz's original series, Counterpart. And we will catch you next time here on Remote Control.
Just found a few contraband items. No alarms.
You're certain?
You know, it might be helpful if you told me exactly what we're looking for.
Before Silk left, he asked me to follow up on a lead. So I met a source. A man who knows about the people funding Baldwin.
And what did he say?
He mentioned a mole.
Here.
Third floor. High level.
I know every point of exposure from this floor. If there's a leak, it's controlled.
He said it was high clearance. There's only a few people that could be. You. Me. Any one of your boys.
How long did your source say this mole has been in place?
He said years.
Come with me. We're going for a drive.